You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Weird Al Yankovic and the YouTube channel Shimoya Yoho recently published a video on YouTube parodying the first presidential debate titled, "We're All Doomed." With over 3 million views, this video is trending on YouTube and was actually published in the Wall Street Journal's opinion page online. There's not much redeemable from that video, but in there, Weird Al sings a bridge that I think has a great line for us to think about before we feast on our Bible passage, Isaiah 25. Here's the bridge. Exploding trees, COVID-19, hurricanes past the letter Z, conspiracy theories about vaccines, murder hornets coming from across the seas, too many memes about World War III, can't tell what's hell or reality. Can't tell what's hell or reality. Isn't that the truth? I mean, you and I are living history, especially these last 8 months, and we're watching the world turn inward upon itself, devouring itself, feasting even on itself. Think about that line again. Can't tell what's hell or reality. Is there an absence of God in the world today? Does it feel like God isn't here with us today? What does that even look like? Where is it hell in your life? For me, there are times I can't distinguish between hell and reality. I mean, for one, we're socially distanced. God didn't create us to be 2 meters apart. God didn't create us to be 6 feet apart, treating each other like we're lepers. Even there's restrictions on what we can do and what we can't do, where we can go, what we can do out and about. Even how we worship here in this place, we can't come together shoulder to shoulder, kneeling at the rail to be able to receive from God his gifts. And even us as students, the traditions that we have wanted, we crave, we want to feast on, they may not happen this year. As you recall, last year, our brothers and sisters weren't able to celebrate Call Day here in this space. And even with the celebration and the pomp and the circumstance, we weren't able to celebrate the culmination of their studies. Even think about the masks, as somebody just told me to take mine off. Think about the masks. Do you ever think it's going to be over? I mean, are we ever going to be able to get back to some form of normalcy? I'm really worried that my son Jackson is going to grow up in an era when we have to wear masks whenever we go out in public. It's similar to the Twin Towers when they got hit. And before then, on September 10th, you could walk into an airport without ever having to bring out your ID, without having to put your bags through a scanner, without taking your shoes off. And afterwards, life has never been the same for travel. And so even now, and even once there's a vaccine, and once the pandemic has moved on, this too shall pass. Is there ever going to be any kind of normal? See, the sun produces the same amount of light daily, but the world seems to be getting darker and darker. Certainly, hell's shadow is darkening our doorstep. In the absence of Jesus being here, seeing you and you seeing me, being that tangible, being able to see him face to face, people have become grossly incurvitas upon themselves. We become very fond of looking at our own belly buttons. Think about those COVID-19 practices. To mask or not to mask? That is the question. And you are wrong if you do or you do not wear one. President Trump was in the hospital this past weekend with COVID, and I could just hear those two camps, the one camp shouting the interjection, "Finally, it's poetic justice. I'm glad he's got it. Maybe it'll teach him a lesson." And can't you hear the other side saying, disaster, oh no, we have to pray for him. I hope he gets better. I hope he's able to get back into the White House soon. Did you contribute to any of that noise? I mean, is it hell that we can't decide what to do about these masks? I mean, we're supposed to love the neighbor as ourselves, but at times it sure feels like we're loving the neighbors for ourselves. Regardless, hell's shadow and what hell brings with it is on our doorstep. It is upon us. Death has been thrust into our faces by Satan. Satan throws death in your face because death's job is to take the life that God has given. Death's job is to scare you. It's to scare you into questioning God. It's to scare you to even feast, to swallow up the faith that is yours in Jesus. Death's job is to make you ask the question, where's God in all this suffering? Can we tell what is hell or reality? Will we be feasted upon by death? Are we doomed? These questions aren't new. Isaiah felt similarly millennia ago. Well into his prophetic work, Isaiah preached to the people of Israel a word that was going to bring death. A chapter before our Old Testament passage for today, which coincides with Easter Sunday, all these texts for this coming weekend are Easter Sunday texts. Isaiah 24 depicts God feasting on the earth. Verse 1, behold, the Lord will empty the earth and make it desolate, and he will twist its surface and scatter its inhabitants. Verse 3, the earth shall be utterly empty and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. Verse 6, therefore, a curse devours the earth, and its inhabitants suffer for their guilt. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are scorched, and few men are left. Can't tell what's hell or reality. Hell and reality are the same thing for those people. Hell's shadow was to come upon the people of Israel. They wondered for generations who their God was. We know that they looked at idols, they looked at kings, they looked to show fates, pretty much anybody that wasn't God for salvation. And so the curse that they were to receive was death. And death was devouring. It's depicted as feasting on the earth. Satan was working hard, for their faith in God was being feasted upon by death. And it was that mistrust that condemned them. As most of us know, Assyria came first, and then the Babylonian chariots second. God promised to feast on the world. Ouch. God promised to make his world a desolation. There was to be a feast, and the world was his buffet. Everything was destined for plunder and for spoilage. All the food gone, all the wine gone, all the people gone. Yet piercing that dark veil, piercing that covering spread over the people of God was God's brilliant promise of a feast on death. The Lord of hosts, clothed in his wedding garment, promised Israel and to you a feast on death. There upon his holy mountain, the Lord of hosts will establish your reality as forgiven forevermore. No more covering, no more dark veil, no more death. The dark veil, we can think of it as a very thick blanket, a very thick black blanket spread over the people, spread over us when we die. That has been consumed. That will be swallowed up. It will be destroyed. The dark veil spread over the world is to be replaced with a veil white as snow, washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, fit for the bride of Christ. This feast on death begins as a wake, and it ends as the marriage reception of Christ and his bride, the church, for all eternity. Isaiah has this beautiful image of the feast in our Old Testament passage for the day, Isaiah 25, verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. This feast is no Concordia Seminary Oktoberfest, be that with much libation and enjoyment. It is no Oktoberfest. Nor is it your cousin's 50-buck-a-plate wedding reception. Can't tell what's hell or reality? This feast is the promised reality for you, for all people. Isaiah continues in verse 7. And he will swallow up. Okay, we'll render the PL here. And he will feast on this mountain, the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will feast on death forever. Isaiah depicts God craving death. In fact, Isaiah paints us a picture of God yearning to swallow up death. In fact, God wants to feast on death, especially yours. That's your future reality. There in the new heaven and the new earth, your eternal life with Christ will be celebrated with food and with drink we can't even imagine today. That will happen. Your future reality has been won because God devoured our death in Christ. Christ's resurrection from the dead has won for us a place on that holy mountain. The Lord of hosts conquered. He feasted on your death by raising his son Jesus from the dead. As Isaiah 42, verses 5 to 7 puts it, thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. He devoured. He swallowed up. He will feast on death forever, including yours. The great and mighty Lord of hosts, clothed with immense power, destroyed death's sting for you. Death's sting has been rendered powerless. He conquered death in his son Jesus so that you can come to the promised feast. Your Jesus, with bloody cross and busted tomb, swallowed up the covering cast over you for you. He devoured the darkened veil spread over you for you. Your Jesus became the firstborn of the dead so that your death is but falling asleep. Your Jesus rose from the dead so that you too are awakened from sleep. Your Jesus will usher you into the marriage feast of the Lamb in whose kingdom will have no end. Can't tell what's hell or reality? Please, your reality is Jesus' reality. Forgiven, redeemed, resurrected forevermore. So until Christ returns, we are invited to come to the foretaste of the feast to come. And it is set before us here today. There, under a morsel of bread and a sip of wine, is rich food full of marrow and of aged wine well refined, the body and blood of Jesus. This is your reality now, where a glimpse of heaven is on earth. So come to the feast of the Lord, prepared and made victorious for you. Amen. Please stand.